Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo!
Bring them out. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Jack, we've got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Monday morning with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And Cap, the hottest team in Chicago sports right now is the Chicago Cubs. Think about it. Sweeping out Houston, losing 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, splitting with the Mets in 4 games, and winning 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee as Council takes on his old team, the Milwaukee Brewers, and takes care of them in fine fashion.
You had 3 starters give up a combined 0 runs. 0. And all of them went at least 6 innings. You had Hayden Wisniewski out there, Javier Assad, who you were the first to tell us that guy belongs in the rotation. He didn't even make the major leagues till August of 2022. He was an international free agent signing in 2015. He's now going to turn 27. And over the last 11 months or so, since mid-June a year ago, he has the best ERA, minimum 100 innings pitched by a starter, of any guy in baseball. Anybody. Like, in the vicinity, Garrett Cole is in there. Blake Snell is in it. Javier Assad's number one. He's been unbelievable. You could call him their ace. Imanaga's been sensational, but it's a small sample size. 6 starts. Justin Steele, who was their opening day starter, he comes back tonight against Darvish. Should be great theater to watch from Wrigley Field. But this team is showing you, if upper management will get the ATM card out, there's no telling how far they could go. You get in, anything happens, man.
What you have to like if you're a Cubs fan is Steele out, Wicks out, Suzuki, Cody Bellinger. You have some key players out for the Chicago Cubs, but yet you are tied for first place this morning with the Milwaukee Brewers. There are some teams that would perish and saying, oh, we don't have two of our big boppers in the lineup. We're missing 2 rotation guys. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Guess what the Cubs are doing? They're finding a way to be able to win ball games. It starts with the pitching, and now look what's happened to the Cubs. They're tied for first place, and I know we're having this conversation in early May, but the point is that the Cubs are not going through a long losing streak. They're actually flourishing because of what's happening. The others are picking up the slack.
You've had a team that has had no steal since the opening game. Tyone didn't break camp with the regular team. He pitched great over the weekend. Cody Bellinger out. Seiya Suzuki out, although both, according to Craig Counsell, could be back this week. Julian Merriweather, who's arguably their best setup guy, him or Leiter, he's been out for a while with a broken rib. So Dansby Swanson has been struggling. He broke out of his slump yesterday. Nico Hoerner started slow, has been really good. Mervis came up. He's already back in the minors. Morel went through a slump. He's already back trending the right way. Ian Happ has been slumping. You've been playing a kid in Pecor Armstrong who probably needs more seasoning, but he's been up. Tauchman, your guy, has been really, really good. They're finding a way, man. They are finding a way. And it's time to start recognizing a pretty damn good team.
Craig Counsell is the manager for the Chicago Cubs, talking about Swanson. After finally getting a home run, there was a long time where there wasn't power from Swanson, but finally came through.
I think, when you're struggling a little bit at the plate, just good results, helping your team win, taking a really good swing and getting rewarded for it, it just feels good. It's a It's a weight off your shoulders for sure. So happy for Dansby's. You know, he's so important to us, and you know, he's been in a little scuffling a little bit. That's part of the major league season, and hopefully this is a sign he's getting back out of it.
Yesterday was his first home run since April 24th against the Astros.
Yeah, he's been off defensively a bit, making uncharacteristic errors for a two-time Gold Glove winner. So hopefully that settles down. And yeah, as you said, his offense maybe is starting to come around. Now, this is a great challenge this next three games with the Padres. They just went out and added Luis Arraez, gave up three of their better prospects, I think like 6, 8, and 10 in their top 10. So that's a stiff price to pay, but the Marlins are open for business. I'm hearing the Cubs are talking to them potentially about a reliever, maybe Tanner Scott. We'll see. Talking and getting something done are two entirely different things. But watching this Cubs team play, they play hard. We know they're well managed. If they can get through these injuries to this degree, add all these guys back in, it's inherent on upper management to spend whatever it takes to push them over the line.
And how far can the Cubs go? As you mentioned in the meeting, how far can they go?
They can win the World Series. I'm not telling you they will, but you get in. The Arizona Diamondbacks barely got in last year. They went to the World Series. We saw the Phillies a couple years ago go in as the wild card. They went to the World Series. This club absolutely could do the same thing in the National League. Who is in the National League that you go, oh my God, no chance? Dodgers haven't been playing great ball.
Well, that's a kiss of death.
They're a good team. I mean, their payroll is what, $280 million or whatever it is? Yeah, they got great players. For whatever reason, they haven't gotten off to the type of start that I think everyone thought the Dodgers would. The Braves are really good. There's good teams in the National League. But is there somebody you go, oh my God, unbeatable? Absolutely not.
I don't know if anyone in baseball is unbeatable, but you know the common denominator with World Series teams, and that is good fortune and luck and magic. That's the number one word. That's the word I'm searching for, magic. Magic meaning that all of a sudden things happen out of nowhere and the team is able to win because of good fortune. And that's what the Cubs need. It's funny, we talked about that with the Bears in our conversations when I said, Cap, the reason why that the Bears are in this position right now on the precipice of being a playoff team with Caleb Williams is magic because of good fortune. Lovie Smith opens a door here, and the Atlanta Falcons open a door there, and all of a sudden now look at your roster. Same thing with the Cubs. You had good fortune because you've been able to play well because of the injuries. You're overcoming the injuries, but now you need the magic. That means games that you come out of nowhere. You pull out of places that you didn't know you had places. That's what the Cubs need. Until I see that magic, I can't roll with you on that. We got to see certain games down the stretch in the summer. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. And we haven't seen that yet from the Cubs.
Their number one pitching prospect, he's number two in minor league, all of minor league baseball, Cade Horton. He's now already left Double-A. He already had his first outing in Triple-A and was really good. I'm telling you, late June, he's probably here. And if that's the case, I mean, go out and get a couple bullpen arms. You got to stay healthy, obviously. But they've got these guys coming back. They got a really good team. They really, really have a good team if they could fix the back end of their pen. And that's incumbent on Jed and Carter Hawkins and Tom Ricketts and the family saying, okay, whatever, what's it going to take? They did that in 2016. Gave up a good package. They loved Gleyber Torres. He's been a good player for the Yankees. He's not a superstar, but he's a good player. And they got 3 months of Aroldis Chapman, and they won the World Series. There is no reason they don't go make a deal like that this year.
It might need some more. You know, the more and more you mention like a Ben Brown or like a Cade Horton, guys like that, the more and more you start bringing up starters, the more and more Kyle Hendricks seems like he's far, far away.
Yeah,
because you have an embarrassment of riches now, at least with young talent, if nothing else, with young pitchers. Now, at some point, Cap, you have to look at this and say, does Kyle Hendricks fit the dynamic of the 2024 Chicago Cubs? You're talking about these young players as if they can make a difference. Maybe they can, and maybe more so than the veteran Hendricks. At some point, you have to pull the string and say, okay, that's enough at some point. he keeps pitching like this, he's going to be Jake Arrieta before you know it. Just saying, like, no matter how much he's making, that's not a bullpen arm. That's just, that stuff's not good enough for the bullpen. It's either starter or nothing.
Yeah, he'll get another opportunity in this rotation, and there'll always be injuries. Always. Guys need a day. We saw Steele go out in the opening game of the season. So there will be hiccups. There will be an opportunity for him to get back. He's pitched one rehab start. We'll see how things go for him. But he'll get another opportunity. We'll see if it works. I hope it does because he's such a good dude.
We're getting to the old six-man rotation idea now.
No way.
I'm just saying.
I don't think they do that. Again, this stuff always seems to play itself out because of injury. But Chris Kamka tweeted this. After combing through at Stathead, this is the only time from 1901 to the present that the Cubs have played a series of three-plus games and had a start of six-plus scoreless innings in each game. Wisniewski, Tyone, and Assad. Now you get Steele back tonight.
And Wisniewski.
There's another arm that's been really good. He'll go to the bullpen when they get guys back.
Yeah, maybe some of your answers of some of these young arms might be bullpen guys. You're looking for bullpen help. Veteran arms in the bullpen. How about a fresh arm or two in that bullpen to bolster things?
Yeah, maybe.
Because if I see another YouTube video of you just popping up out of nowhere criticizing Hector Neris, I think I'm going to jump out off the bridge. You've had enough.
Oh, my God.
You'll get your closer, but you got to be patient. You're too impatient. You're not going to lose the pennant in May. The team's hanging in there in the National League Central, is it not?
They are. They're tied for first.
You said no one's scaring you in the National League. Okay. Well, then you put Jed's feet to the fire like we did on opening day and say, Jed, last year you didn't believe in the ball club. Clearly you didn't believe in the ball club. Even though you want to pull the plug on the team and the Cubs told you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a chance. And you're on the precipice of getting the playoffs last year. But what was missing? The bullpen. So I would say that you have to trust Jed this time because if they're not going to invest in the ball club to make a push at this thing, then there's going to be huge criticism once again on Hoyer.
Yeah, and I think they will. I think they feel differently about this team than they did a year ago. But if you go back to Friday's game, I mean, they have every chance to sweep the Brewers.
Yep.
Every chance. And you look at the box score, and in comes Amaya. No, Alzolay.
Alzolay.
He goes Wisniewski. 6 1/3, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, a pitch count of 90. Lovelady comes in, gives you a perfect inning with 1 strikeout. And then you go to Alzolay. So here we are. Alzolay comes in, lasts 1/3 of an inning, 4 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 1 strikeout. Bam, see you later. Thanks for coming. And then Colton Brewer finishes it out. You lose 3-1. That is a game that you should have won.
Mm-hmm.
He's blown 5 saves. Five blown saves from Adbert Alzolay, and the Cubs sit with a record now of 21-14. I'm not telling you he should have been perfect, but let's assume he only blows 2 of those. Add 3 more wins. You're 24-12. You're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling. You would have swept them. They would have left town. You'd be 2 games in front. So they've got to figure out the Alzolay thing because for all the people tweeting at me, he cannot be sent to the minors. He has no options left. It's either release him with really good stuff that hasn't worked out and watch somebody else claim him and then go, oh, God. I mean, you've got to just pitch him in low leverage. You're down 5 runs, put him in. You're up 10, put him in. You just can't put him in the 8th and 9th inning yet. You cannot.
You know how you coaches are, though. You'll say, I'll take him and I'll fix him. Or be at a mediocre ball club and he could be the closer for them.
He would get picked up in a second if the Cubs announced they were going to get rid of him. He'd be claimed in a second because he's got electric stuff. It's just not working right now.
And he's out of position now, Cap. If he can't close, now you put him in. It's kind of like, who was it just recently with the White Sox? There was a longtime closer that they put as a setup man that didn't work. Right-hander. Can't come up with the name. God, it's Kimbrel. That was as Kimbrel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kimbrel was never good in the 7th or the 8th. But you need him in the 9th, he's a closer. You put him in any other role, it's not good.
Correct.
Maybe that works for Alzolay. Maybe the same thing. maybe he just needs a different address. If he's not going to be the closer here, I think he could be a closer and pitch well someplace else.
Maybe. It's worth, if you were a team that was down, you're the Marlins or somebody like that, you go, I'll take a shot at him.
Sure.
See if we can fix him. If you're the White Sox, why would you not take a shot at an arm like that? But the hits that he gave up, exit velocity was not a problem for him on Friday. They weren't crushing him. They were some infield hits. He's running into A, bad luck, and B, making bad pitches, period.
So let's talk about this. Jack, let's open the phone lines this morning. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I are talking to you about the Cubs. The Cubs come in this morning 21-14 on the season. They're tied with Milwaukee for first place in the National League Central. The Cubs are the hottest team in Chicago sports. There's no question about that at this point in time. Is it too early to say that they can make the World Series? Let's talk about that on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
We are back, baby. We are back. We are back. Classic.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. The Cubs, they shut out the Brewers by a score of 5-0. Cubs are tied for first place in the National League Central. Long season. Point is, though, is that if you know the storylines for the Cubs, a lot of injuries early. And as I've been telling Cap on the outside looking in of this, you rather go through this now than go through this in August or September. Could you imagine down the stretch you're in a pennant race? Oh, two starting pitchers out and two of your big boppers out in the lineup, like, and you don't know who your closer is. At least the Cubs are going through this now and winning at the same time. It says a lot about the ball club.
It does. It says a lot about how hard they play for their manager, but they played hard for Rossi too. But they, you know, as this young team starts to come of age, we'll see if they can make a deep run. They're the best team in that division, clearly. But because you get injuries now does not mean you won't get them later. Like, I love your optimism that you get the injuries out of the way now, but there's no, like, Major League Baseball board that says they've had enough.
Well, that's just me rooting for you.
Yeah.
But
even though you're rooting for the Padres tonight. Your guy's pitching one of the games. Cease.
Yeah.
You and your Padres text chain will be locked in.
Yeah, it's been a rough watch in the first month watching the Padres.
And they just went out and got Luis Arraez.
Mm-hmm.
Gave up three good prospects. He has a four-hit day in his first game as a Padre. Mm-hmm. And Mike Schilt, their manager, said, you cannot believe what that did in our clubhouse. How excited everybody is. We went and got the best hitter in the National League. Let's go.
Yeah.
And there he is. That guy's a really, really good player. Bob Nightingale writes, the White Sox, off to their worst start in franchise history, are still hoping to trade Tommy Pham to the highest bidder before the trade deadline. He could be their leading candidate. He just joined the team to represent the team at the All-Star game. Sox are also expected to trade starters Eric Fetty, Chris Flexen, Mike Clevinger, Michael Kopech, and Aloy Jimenez.
So let me just tell you how I feel about that as a White Sox fan. And by the way, if Nightingale said it, it's good as gold, by the way. That could be from Scott Merkin. That could be from Steve Stone. That's as good as gold if Nightingale said it. If it's a White Sox story, he's got it. He's got it nailed. So what you're saying with that report, Cap, is that you're not building on anybody. That's what you're saying. Like, even though the Sox could lose 100-plus ball games, at some point, you have to be able to find future cornerstones for the franchise.
Are there any there, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, Crochet's off to a good start.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a building block for you.
Yep.
Robert's on the team for now.
Yep.
That's a star on the South side. That's a must-watch. If you're looking for a must-watch, it's that guy when he's healthy. It's Luis Robert.
Yes.
He's in the outfield. And when you're in the concession line, all right, let's see what Robert's going to do.
Would you trade him? Like, right now, he's not healthy. I had dinner with my brother last night for his birthday, and we were talking about Luis Robert. And he's like, you're telling me teams wouldn't trade for him now? They wouldn't give you enough back.
Sure.
Till they know he's healthy. So you got to wait. But when he comes back, Let's assume he comes back and he looks like, looks good. Would you trade?
Yeah, I think anyone's tradable.
He's only, what, 26?
Yeah, anyone's tradable. But to my point, though, if you're going to say that you've got the doors open for everybody, we're just going to have a clearance sale, then it actually proves my point even more so when I said, Cap, this decade is over for the White Sox. It's over. Like, they're not getting to the playoffs in the 2020s. The start of this is 2031. And that, I know that sounded like hyperbole when I first said it to you, but when you think about it, if you're going to say in May, yeah, you know, it's wide open for anybody. Anybody can be traded from this ball club. That means that you're just trying to get minor league talent and try to develop minor league talent. And by the way, that's a crapshoot too. Someone's best minor league talent does not necessarily mean that you're going to have a ready-made ball club by the time you get to 2028. It's not happening. It's not happening. So when you say, you know, and again, it's Nightingale, so I believe him because look at the track record. If it's a Sox story, he's right on top of it more times than not, it's accurate. Then that means that you don't have any cornerstones. And that's a shame for a big market team in this town to say, yep, I know we made a lot of trades last year, but here's some more for you. So you're not going to have anybody. So Andrew Vaughn, guess he's available too.
How old is Andrew Vaughn? He can't be very old, right?
No.
He's got to be, what, 25? I mean, there are guys there that you just have to continue to develop. I really believe, like, he's 26. Yeah. He just turned 26. Mm-hmm. Andrew Vaughn was the number 3 pick overall. The best hitter in that draft by every scout's metric. Go back and read anything about that draft. Best hitter in the draft is Andrew Vaughn. Doesn't mean he's going to turn out to be the best hitter, but he was at the draft. They have upgraded their front office. I think on that level, Chris Getz has done a really good job. He poached some really good executives from other teams, gave them good deals, signed them. That does not mean that it turns around overnight unless Jerry's willing to spend at a level he has not gone to yet.
I don't like our team.
Apparently Chris Getz doesn't like this team either.
Right.
I don't like our team.
But I understand his frustration. But if Jerry says, okay, take the pay. I'm not asking you to spend like the Mets. The Padres cut $80 million off their payroll, and they look like a better team. Mm-hmm. It's not how much you spend. It's who you spend it on.
Fair.
But you have to go out and be willing if there's a couple of really costly acquisitions that will make you a better team. It's not like there's a juggernaut in your division. There's good teams. I don't think you have to spend crazily to get competitive, be decent. You don't.
What I would say is that to the average White Sox fan, when they hear that story from Nightingale, means that when you go to the ballpark, you're watching a minor league ball club. And minor leagues meaning that you could watch a minor league team and then someone gets a call up or go someplace else. It's like, oh, I was enjoying watching this player, but now that player is gone after a month or two. So could you imagine that in a Major League Baseball park that you're sitting down trying to watch your favorite team, the White Sox, and then your guys are just going to be plucked off one by one by another ball club to better teams?
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard watch, especially in Chicago. It is.
It is.
That's very difficult to be in a major league city in a big market like this, and then treat your team like, I don't know, the Kansas City Royals. They want the Royals model? Well, this is what you got. You got a former Royal and a former White Sox in the front office. You got former Royals. You got a former Royal as a manager. You got former Royals in the upper room there at Guaranteed Rate. Well, you want to run like the Royals? Well, this is what you get. And actually, the Royals actually are a better ball club lately than the White Sox. It says a lot.
They're actually playing good baseball. But they also got a cornerstone piece of Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
So it's different. But I'm telling you that this Cubs team, if they stay healthy and get these guys back, and it sounds like it's imminent, and they're getting Steele back tonight, there's no reason they can't win the division and win it fairly comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get in, anything can happen. I mean, in a world where they have the financial ability at the deadline to go out and add on, go, who's the best available closer? Maybe the A's fall out of it and go, we'll trade Mason Miller. He's really good. Go do it then. If not now, when? You want to add on a little bit now and then wait, and in July go, all right, we're six games in front. Let's go, Jed.
Mm-hmm.
That's incumbent on management.
Yeah.
But you get in, I'm telling you, with this starting pitching, anything can happen. Anything.
That's true, but I wonder about the offense as well. You know, one of the things we talked about before the season is, do you have enough pop offensively? You have enough on-base percentage, I believe, but ultimately you're going to need home run power, and I'm not sure if you have enough of that. You might acquire that. Someone might emerge from that. Like, I'm a big Morel fan. I hope he hits 25 to 30 home runs. I hope that he's able to do that because I think that's in him with a little bit more seasoning. But that, I think, matters also. I mean, line drive power is fine, but I'd like for them to be able to get the ball out of the ballpark. In that lineup, nobody scares you. Nobody scares you in the lineup. Not yet for the Cubs. But they also are very good on the bases. They're very good at keeping the line moving. So that has to occur for this team to be able to have sustained success in the playoffs.
Yeah, Christopher Morel right now has 7 home runs already.
Mm-hmm.
Driven in 21. And looks like they made an adjustment to him. It looks like he's made an adjustment back to them.
Yep.
We're going to find out if that continues. He had a home run over the weekend on Saturday. He had a home run on Friday. Yesterday, he was 1-for-1. He drove in an RBI. So he's a really good player, man. I'm telling you, people need to get on board that this team absolutely can make a run to the top. They absolutely can if management's willing to add on. 100% in my opinion.
And that is bullpen help, but I wonder about offense as well. That's something that's needed.
Yeah, I think they have enough offense. I do. I do think they have enough offense. Mm. Got to let this kid at first continue to play. He's playing well. You've got Horner and Swanson. You like Morel. Ian Happ's got to pick it up, but they've got guys in the minors that could come up. And he has a no-trade clause. For all the people tweeting, can we trade Happ? No. He's got a no-trade clause. He's got to play better. Bellinger comes back. Suzuki is back. I'm telling you. No. They need two quality back-end bullpen arms. Quality.
Yeah, I would say, Cap, that I don't look at the Cubs versus the Central. I look at the Cubs versus the upper echelon in the National League, for instance. Like the Cubs against the Braves, please. Cubs against the Phillies. Cubs against the Dodgers. That's what it comes down to. You have to match as much as possible the offense of those teams. Those teams are dangerous. Cubs are fine, and I think that they're plucky. But what I would say is that you need more than a bullpen. You need some offense. You need a little bit more offense than that. Because I think that, and by the way, Jed knows that too. Jed said to us on opening day that we're not there yet. Of course, he wasn't sure that the ball club would be in first place at this time in early May. But he says we're not there yet. And he knows what's needed for the team. Now will the Cubs acquiesce and be able to pick up the arms and the offense that's needed? The Cubs are fine. But you look at them versus the rest of the good teams in the National League, they don't match up. Not offensively. They do not. They do not. Even with the Padres coming in here, and I've been up and down on the Padres all season because they're 18-19. I've watched them every night. They're just inconsistent at this point in time. But look at that lineup. Then look at the Cubs lineup. There's a difference.
Yeah, I just don't see a spot where you're adding offense. Maybe a bench bat. I do not see a spot where you're adding a starting bat. I don't see it. They're not moving Horner. They're not moving Swanson. They want to let Morel play. They want to let Bush play. They gave up a hell of a prospect for him. Happ can't be traded, and they're not moving Bellinger and Suzuki. So there is no spot, in my opinion, unless someone goes down with a serious injury, to add a everyday bat. I don't see it. I don't.
You like your DH?
I mean...
You could always upgrade there.
Dang. You could.
Yeah.
You could.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm not convinced they're going to go out and get a big-time bat, a big-time closer, and a big-time setup. That's a lot to add in season. But I do think they add bullpen help.
You're the Cubs. Why not? All in, baby.
Agreed.
All in.
Agreed.
You'd do it.
I would, but I'm not the owner.
Well.
But I do think they have to add two back-end arms. And I think they will. I hope so.
All right, is it too early to tell if the Cubs can make a World Series run? We're talking about that. Also, a Bears star was at the Cubs game yesterday. We'll talk about that and more as we move forward here on a Monday morning. Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Cubs ace Justin Steele expected to make his return to the rotation tonight. Steele out since late March, the opening game of the season with a hamstring injury. Cubs tied for the NL Central lead after a series win over the Brewers. Take on Yu Darvish and the Padres tonight at 6:40 at the confines. White Sox took 2 of 3 from the Cardinals this weekend. Thank you. Garrett Crochet, 6 innings yesterday, gave up 1 run in the 5-1 victory. White Sox and Rays in Tampa tonight at 5:50. And you'll get that game right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. Sky dropped their preseason opener 92-81 to the Minnesota Lynx Friday night. It was Angel Reese at Camila Cardozo's exhibition debut. Game was not on TV, but the Tribune's reporting a fan's Twitter live stream of the game peaked at over 170,000 views. And former Bears quarterback Bob Avellini passed away Saturday at the age of 70. He had been battling cancer. Avellini was a sixth-round pick out of Maryland in 1975 and led the Bears to the playoffs in 1977. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood, I'm back.
Appreciate you guys. I listen to you streaming on the ESPN 1000 app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10 on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Monday. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. We'll have Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock, brought to you by ESPN Bet. Cap, by the way, regarding the White Sox, just very briefly, you know, I think that in 2024, we have all of the data that we need when it comes to the weather. Is it going to rain? Is it going to be sunshine? We have the windows that's available now because of the great Tracy Butler and many other meteorologists around the country. The idea that in 2024 we're still waiting through a 3-hour rain delay in that game with the Sox in St. Louis is ridiculous. At some point, you just say, you know what, guys, we're not going to stick around here for 3 hours like we did in the 80s and 90s when you had no idea whether or not the rain was going to end or not. It's ridiculous now in 2024 that any ball club or any team or any game have people sitting around for 3 hours. Well, we got a window in 3 hours because this game's so vital to the standings. It's the Sox and the Cardinals. Make it up tomorrow. Start then. It's the ninth. Come on, man. You know that everyone wanted to get out of there, including C.B. Buckner with his horrible call at the end to give the White Sox the victory. I mean, at this point in time, Cap, I can understand the 80s. Well, we'll just wait until 4 a.m. You don't need to do that anymore.
Correct.
Stop.
You're correct.
Had the fans wait 3 hours through programming, you know, and wait until your ball club comes back. And everyone's gone by then. The fans are gone. The TV people are gone. No one's watching at that point in time. So what's the point?
Yeah, Brett and I all weekend were watching baseball. Cubs, Sox. We're watching the Sox game. First of all, and I am not a proponent of robo-umps. I'm not. I would just like more oversight for Major League Baseball that bad umpires aren't continuing to get assignments. Angel Hernandez is an embarrassment to the game.
Yes.
C.B. Buckner says, hold my beer, because he's right there with him. Michael Kopech in the ninth inning threw a pitch. It wasn't on the edge of the little box on your TV screen. It wasn't just in the box. It was right down the freaking middle. Right in the middle of the box.
Ball.
What? Now, he got out of it, so it's not magnified. But what if the next guy hits a game-winning home run? That was a strike right down the freaking middle. Then we go to this lengthy delay, and Brett keeps going back on our Apple TV where
we
have the games. And it says, weather delay. All right, Brett, just check on your phone. I want to see if it's back, that weather delay. 3 hours. Weather delay. We turn it back on. You have the last pitch of the game. Mm-hmm. And it's not a strike. I think it was Nolan Gorman at the plate.
Yeah.
Like a good hitter for the Cardinals.
1 ball and 2 strikes. The pitch. Got him looking on a changeup. And this one's over. It was worth the wait. Oh, just a changeup off the outside corner, about 3 or 4 inches. And
thank
the home
you.
Plate umpire, C.B. Buckner, said, it's good enough for me. We're going home.
The final score after a rain delay of 3 hours and 3 minutes in 10.
Dang.
Sox 6, Cardinals 5.
Yeah, it was bases loaded, two outs, they go to delay. They were trying so hard to get that through because you know that the umpires, the player, that we don't want to be here. We want to go to dinner.
Oh, my
and
God.
Can't do it. I mean, it was a monsoon coming down. So now you resume 3 hours and 3 minutes later. Here comes a guy to the plate. Gets a hit. The game's over. They're going to win. He makes an out. They're going to lose. 1-2 pitch. And that pitch was, you heard DJ.
Yeah.
That was at least 3 inches off the plate. Ha! You're out.
Yes.
The batter looked back like, what? What are you kidding me? I know these aren't good teams here, but we're major leaguers. Like, the supervisor of umpires should say, CB, we need you to call us on Monday. Yeah, you're suspended this week. You got to be better at pitches that are on the edge. And the ones that are way out there, you cannot call them strikes. You cannot.
They're just like tenured professors that can't be questioned. They're more empowered now than ever before when you think about it, Cap. You and I and many of our listeners grew up in an era in which a manager could argue balls and strikes. Hey, man. Hey, Blue. Come on, let's go. Come on! You just start yelling at him. Now it snaps him back. Now Frank Pulley's like, all right, I'm ready. Because sometimes you're just in a haze. Everything's a strike.
Right.
Okay, hey, that's not a strike. Wake up out there. Let's go. Now you can be able to talk to, but now you don't can't even talk to the umpire.
Aaron Judge walking away muttered something.
Gone.
Aaron Judge, get out.
No, just that. So they're more empowered than ever because if you say anything, even if you don't say anything, you can be thrown out of the game.
Correct.
Ask the Yankee manager.
Yeah, last week we saw Aaron Boone. He's in the dugout. A guy behind the dugout, a fan, is just crushing the umpire, Hunter Wendell said.
Yes.
He's like, that's enough. You're gone. And Boone comes around and goes, I didn't say anything.
Oh, my God.
I don't care. That's what his response was.
it's just the
worst.
It was
a fan.
I mean,
rabbit ears.
All you're saying is that that pitch is 6 inches outside, and all of a sudden now the umpires are Leslie Nielsen and Naked Gun.
Correct.
They're doing the splits out there.
Correct.
My
they
God.
They think everyone bought a ticket to see them. Yeah.
They're doing the moonwalk out there. What the hell?
Crazy.
Cap!
Brutal.
That's what's missing in the game, to be able to just snap the umpire back into shape.
Yeah.
It's like, hey. Hey, man, let's focus out there.
Brutal.
Cap, you can't do that.
You cannot. That was brutal.
I mean, it's just so, I mean, but my whole thing, Cap, is that if you're not going to pick up the next day, I mean, you're late in the game. All right, that'll be all. Pick it up the next day or just give somebody the victory. 3 hour plus rain delay in 2024? If you're trying to make improvements at the game, that's not how you do it.
Correct.
We got a window in 3+ hours. Well, we're going home. We're going to the restaurant.
Right. Other than Brett and I, maybe you, there weren't many that were watching.
Man.
People were like, I'm done. Saturday night, I'm not really locked in here. We were at the house. What am I going to do? So we watched. It is. What was super cool was Caleb Williams, Cole Kmet, I think DJ Moore, a whole slew of them had a skybox at the Cubs game.
Yeah, we'll talk about those stars embracing their roles as, Chicago Bears. They're all together. We'll talk about that coming up next. And reaction from Cub fans on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood. You're officially locked in.
Put your hands up in the sky.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Caleb Williams was at the Cubs game over the weekend. Listen.
Caleb Williams in the house.
I mean, so there's a standing ovation for Caleb Williams, Cap. He didn't throw out the first pitch or sing the seventh inning stretch. He was just chilling, wasn't he? Just kicking it there.
I don't know if he threw out the first pitch. I just saw him in the skybox when I was watching the game. And there was Cole Kmet. And they showed a bunch of him walking in security detail. Big Jim Obojkowicz, who is in charge of game day operations, was getting them from the players' parking lot. And there was security around them. And it was, I think, DJ Moore. There were a bunch of dudes. And Caleb had the Cub jersey on, sitting in the front of the skybox. He's waving at people. Like, he's embracing being part of the city.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100%.
It just shows the young star power that's happening in this city. And by the way, it happens all the time, Cap. It doesn't happen as quickly as what's happening in Chicago right now. It's usually dribs and drabs. Here's a draft pick. Yeah, here he is. But no, it's more than just a young player. It's star power that's coming in here. The Chicago Sky and what's happening with the Chicago Bears. Young players that are coming to Wrigley Field just to check out the surroundings. It's kind of cool because he's being embraced by the city.
Yeah, rookie minicamp starts Friday, and it should be super cool to see the media turnout and what everything looks like. He was at Target the other day, and there's pictures of him carrying his packages to his car, and it's Target. Okay, but guess what? He was just a normal dude buying stuff to set up his place wherever he's going to stay right now. I don't know if he's gotten a permanent place yet, if he's renting. I have no idea. It's just cool to see him out and about. We were at a restaurant last night for my brother's birthday, and I talked to someone in there. Caleb has been in there, and I said, what was he like? He said, he was awesome. We came over, said, can we get you a glass of wine? Nope. Not drinking. Thanks. Appreciate it. But they said, just cool. Just a good guy. No arrogance about him. Just came in, have dinner. Just said, wow, super cool. That's Caleb Williams. The entire restaurant's like, that's Caleb Williams. He said he's going to be a rock star in this town.
And rightfully so, by the way. You'd rather hear those stories than the opposite about a guy that just came to town.
Right.
You'd rather hear positive stories like that.
Correct.
And by the way, he should be covered like a star because he's coming in as the quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
Correct.
The same fanfare, by the way, that Justin Fields had when he was here. When it's new, people are interested. And with Caleb Williams, as polarizing as he doesn't deserve to be, but he is, because quite divided. If you just look at social media, I think that experts look at him just like they look at the football side, but people are so into his personality and who he is. I guess that's all part of it, I guess, when you are a quarterback for a football team. But for me, I just enjoy the fact that he is in the city enjoying himself and embracing being a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, he attended the game. I'm looking at Bear Goggles on a blog site. Williams attended the game with fellow Bears teammates Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Roschon Johnson, and Nate Davis. And then when they introduced him, man, place went nuts. Went nuts. Super, super cool. Super cool. So maybe things are turning in Lake Forest.
I want you to think about where he came from USC, and then think about him as a Chicago Cub. There's stars in Chicago, but he was in a city that had Shohei Ohtani in it, and Mookie Betts in it, and LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. And the list goes on and on of L.A. stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was just part of it. L.A.'s an area in which you could just walk down the street, and no one really blinks an eye. Oh, there's Caleb Williams. But here, it's different. Because of the star power. You're the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. In L.A., you just kind of just mix in with the maze of people, the maze of stars. It's what it is. No one stopped ministry. He's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, it's Caleb Williams. In Chicago, it's different.
It is.
Because he's the man.
Because we take our sports team so seriously. They're woven into the fabric of our society. So if you're a Sox fan and your team's bad, you wear that. You take that with you. If you're a Bears fan and, oh, my God, we got our franchise quarterback. Now, he's got to deliver. He does. But this just feels different. It does.
Braxton Jones, by the way, he wants to have a word. He was there, too, at Wrigley Field. He said, hey, don't forget about me.
Oh, he wasn't in the article.
Yeah, he was there.
Was he there, too?
He was there, too. Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, what about me? Don't forget about me.
There you go.
Don't cut me.
Saw Nate Davis. So, yeah, very cool.
Quick sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to you by Ankin Law, 312-6 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Sign my ball. We see this all the time on Wheel of Fortune, where someone has an obvious puzzle, a lot of money to make, and they screw it up. Write this down, Cap. Here are the letters.
Okay.
And think about this as your drive.
Okay.
D.
Got it.
U.
Yep.
Dash.
You mean space?
Yeah, space.
Uh-huh.
Space.
Yeah.
And then dash.
Yep.
Space.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
L-L-E-D. And then the last word is platypus. So D-U, space, space, dash, LLED platypus.
I got it.
Can you give it to me?
That should be duck-billed platypus.
There it is. But this woman had an opportunity to win $7,200 and said...
Pee!
Yeah! And there's a pee. You have $7,250. What do you want to do?
I am going to spin Pat.
Okay. Oh.
Now, the crowd.
Let's start by calling a letter.
I'm going to call an F. I'd like to solve.
Okay.
Duck, build, platypus.
Yeah, that's it.
F. Duck, filled platypus. I mean, what the? Wow.
$7,250 down the drain. She effed the puzzle, and she got nothing.
That's awful.
Duck-filled platypus. You've heard of it before, right? Filled.
No. Damn.
Wow, that is bad.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.
Weak.